We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This episode of In the Know is brought to you by WGN America's Pure. Wednesday at 10, 9 Central, get ready for your newest TV addiction. The new series, Pure, premiering on WGN America, Pure, is based on true events of the Mennonite mob. You heard that right, the Mennonites. Most are kind people, but one group was part of the world's most dangerous drug cartel. The show is about Noah Funk, the newly elected Mennonite pastor, who is determined to rid his community of the mob and drugs. But he's way in over his head. Think of Pure as a Breaking Bad meets Witness meets Narcos. Get hooked on Pure. Series premiere Wednesday at 10, 9 Central, only on WGN America. Available on DirecTV Channel 307, Dish Channel 239, or check your local cable listings.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to another episode of In the Know. It's been an interesting week. Mason, how are you doing?
Better than the Pelicans. I'll go
that's
over
not
here.
Not saying much.
That is not saying much. That's true. But I thought it was funny because last week I distinctly remember right after the podcast ended, I was like, man, it's a good thing when it did because I just started feeling super sick. I'm not sure if it was because we were talking about the Pelicans too much, but man,
definitely.
Thursday night was rough.
About this team, you start getting injured by association. That's just how it works.
I slept for literally 2 hours that night just because I felt terrible, and then it was quick. I'm thinking it was probably just something bad I ate in Cancun finally came back to bite me. But it was a rough 24, 48 hours. But I think it's way more practical and logical to blame it on watching and talking too much Pelicans recently. So I'm going to go with that.
Perfectly fair. So,
but since then, good. How about you?
pretty good. Wanted to check in on you and see if you've heard this. I don't know if you're aware, Mason, but the Knicks have made Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and Enes Kanter available. I know you were waiting to hear these specific players. So I thought you should be the first one to hear from me. Any thoughts on those guys? Should we trade all of our picks yet?
Well, until they make Lance Thomas available, I'm not interested.
Ooh, that's a tough sell.
I don't know. Only the Knicks could figure out a way to try to make they just made three players who are none of whom are have any sort of attractive contracts at all.
You're not interested in a Turkish war criminal or whatever Cantor is now?
Man, that whole story is just bananas. But
okay, well, my favorite thing, he's been kind of a distraction, not just because of that, and that's not really much fault of his own, but in general, you know, Cantor is an ornery dude. But there was a reporter who, you know, went up to David Fizdale, and he was like, are you worried that Enes Kanter is going to become a distraction, you know, with what he's doing? And David Fizdale, I kid you not, he was like, what are we going to do, lose more games? So as bad as the Pelicans are, we're not the Knicks.
I saw that quote, and I almost had wished it had come from Jim Boylan with the Bulls, because that would have provided some sort of comic relief for that fan base.
Oh, my God.
with all the just chaos that's been going on with them. But that Fizdale has – every now and then he's got a great quote to pull out of his sleeve. So I very much enjoyed that one. It's fun when coaches – or when you don't have much to root for on a bad team – brutal honesty sometimes is the best strategy, because at least it provides some comic relief, and the fans who are not super pissed about it can kind of laugh it off and pretend that what's really happening isn't happening.
Yeah, just kind of waiting for Gentry to do the same. He's almost there. He's so close. He's so close. You can tell.
Yeah, I haven't watched all of his post-game availabilities recently, but I feel like we may be jumping the gun. Actually, no, he'll probably have a lot of good things to say about tonight, even if no matter how much you think OKC was actually trying, the Pelicans did hang tough. So maybe we're not missing one of Gentry's tirades, but I feel like, yeah, he probably is getting pretty close.
So just to recap for those of you tuning in, last three games, Pelicans crushed Memphis in Memphis, and they look like a disaster, so... And they're looking to clean house, you know, to get back something in return for Marc Gasol.
Well, they're trying Conley. To trade actual. They're trying to trade actual good players as opposed to the Knicks.
Right, actual good players on awful contracts that are also, you know, on the wrong side of the aging curve. But Pelicans crushed the Grizzlies without Anthony Davis. Ja Okafor had a pretty good. Night, he had put up a 20-10, and his father came down to watch him. Great night, and they played the Pistons. They got lit up by Blake Griffin, and Ja had another great night. Ja's just been pretty, pretty good. But, you know, the offense looked awful for large parts of the game. Pelicans finished with, I think, 94 points on the night. It was like a season low, and they couldn't shoot from three. They couldn't get anything going. I think they only racked up like 20-something assists.
Isn't that a crazy statement, though? I'm just kind of thinking about it. When you say the Pelicans scored 94 points and it was a season low, can you imagine saying that like even 5 years ago?
Gosh, like 94 would have been the season high for Monty.
I was going to say average, but sure, let's go with season high.
Yeesh. It's probably closer to the average with how slow the game was played. Andre Drummond wasn't playing, but the Pelicans got their butt handed to him by Blake Griffin. He absolutely lit up Julius Randle and pretty much anyone that was on him, but it was mostly Randle's job. And I'll tell you this, I don't think Randle wanted any part of Blake Griffin. I just don't think he did.
I to be fair, I don't either.
I don't think he wants any part of defense on most nights, but that in particular, he just seems like, you know, you see sometimes like when AD is like, okay, he doesn't want any part of Embiid, right? Those are the vibes I was kind of getting with Randle and Griffin. But
yeah, which is which is great because when you have a team that can't defend well, what you definitely want is players backing down from other players. I mean, if anything, if your team's not good at defense, the one thing you should be willing to do is really get up in someone's face and take on assignments, even if you're going to be outmatched.
I mean, yeah.
And instead, we're looking at the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, like, I hadn't planned on dwelling on this too much, but since you bring that up, like, you know, towards the end of the night, they were actively putting Ja on Blake, and then they brought in Solomon to do the job, and they're like, hey, Randall, go cover Zaza, or whoever was on the court, Lure, which it's like, okay. And then, you know, Randall was kind of brought in this past offseason, he was like, oh, he's going to be the enforcer. He's going to get in people's faces. Like last year when he played the Pelicans, you know, he was diving through people's legs. Like, what happened to that guy? I'm not sure.
It's funny. I'm just looking at the box score, and I remember this conversation, very brief one between you and Ryan in our Bourbon Street Shots group chat, talking about, Drummond's not playing. That should help the Pelicans. And the argument was rebounding for the Pistons, and it's a reasonable argument. And then I look at the box score, and Zaza played 31 minutes and was the team high plus +8 for Detroit.
Of course, I mean Zaza was almost an all-star when he was with Golden State, so you know, no disrespect to that guy. So yeah, Pelicans lost a close game to the Pistons, where they couldn't rebound down the stretch. Pistons had like 4 offensive rebounds in like a certain I think it was like 30 seconds left. Not 30 seconds. Maybe it was like less than 2 minutes left. I don't know. It was close to the end of the game where they had a very key possession where they came up with like 4 shots at the rim and they finally scored. And then the Pelicans, you know, they had a good look to win for 3, and there was a long offensive rebound. They tried to tap it and they tapped it to the wrong guy, and it was a fast break dunk for the Pistons. So
that possession made me furious, and maybe I overreacted, but man, like that, it just, you look at the team that played tonight, and I'm not going to be the one who says, all the scrubs play, but they really played with effort. And I don't even think that necessarily was true that they played, you know, balls to the wall tonight and went dough for every loose ball, but that how they ended that game last night with that possession, it just didn't even feel like they wanted that ball. I'm not saying they should have chased down, gotten the chase down block after they didn't come up with the loose ball, but I don't know. It was really frustrating to see a team that didn't really have any urgency to go make the play to win the game, you know?
Yeah. Disappointing. So tonight they played the Thunder. Yes, the Thunder. I was like, who did we just play? No, so they played the Thunder. They were without Anthony Davis. They were without Nikola Mirotic, who I forgot to mention got hurt towards the end of the Pistons game. He strained a calf. He is out 1 to 2 weeks. There was no Julius Randle tonight, who had some sort of an ankle issue that no one knew about until before the game. Sure. It seems like one of those rest situations. But no Etuan Moore, who Alvin had hinted to us last game, before the last game started, that, you know, he was going to play limited minutes against the Pistons and he won't be playing against the Thunder. So you're missing 4 of your top offensive guys, and I would have given Drew the night off tonight, honestly. Drew has one of the highest workloads in the whole league, and if you have 4 guys already out, then just make it a
fifth.
We
gave Frazier the night off, so I think Gentry's got his priorities in order.
Ah, okay, yeah. Tim Tinson working hard, man. But, you know, Pelicans, you know, they did what they can. Ja looked good. He looked good running the pick and roll. He was rebounding. Check looked good. Check was getting a lot of good stuff around the rims. He wasn't bobbling that many passes. You know, he definitely had some definitive Check moments where you're like, all right, this is Check Diallo. But he also had some great moments. He had a nice little run by himself. He had a pretty nasty block that he sent flying. I forgot who that was against, but on the balance, you know, the players looked good, but again, you can't really take anything away from this game because you're missing all those players. They're not running the same sets. They're all just kind of running, trying to get the game over with, and OKC's just much more talented. So yeah. It is what it is. Not so good. Not a good week for the Pelicans. Not a good upcoming stretch for the Pelicans with all these injuries. We're going to get into that a little bit later on the podcast. Just more around the league news. All-star starters were announced today, and Anthony Davis is not one of them. What do you think, Mason?
It's disappointing because the reason that he didn't make it was the fan vote. So the way that it breaks down for those of you who don't know is it's 50% fan vote, it's 25% media, and it's 25% players. And what happened was AD finished in third in both media and player voting, and he finished fifth in front court in fan voting. And so he was one ahead of Paul George in two categories, and he was one behind Paul George in the fan vote. And I'm that seems like a tie to me, and I guess I don't really know how tiebreaker rules work in all-star voting, but I guess
Doncic also beat him out in fan voting, right? So fifth,
right? I was just thinking because it was Paul George versus AD was what the
right.
The spot came
down
to.
He won two out of three categories, but
yeah. So I mean, I'm not sure. So that seems like it's a tie, and I guess they would go with the fan vote in the case of a tie, which goes to Paul George. And so AD is not starting, and now we're gonna. And furthermore, I mean, I'm just waiting for LeBron James to pick first and get and pick AD, which is gonna spend start creating more stories.
Well, he can't. He has to pick. He has to by rule pick starters first. So you can't pick the reserves until it's. So you pick all the starters and then you pick the reserves. So he can be the first reserve.
Oh, right. Yeah. So. Yeah, and I wasn't even sure how the order works, but I mean, the second that happens, if it does, I mean, it's frustrating, but it's not this holy crap. This is a travesty sort of thing. Like Paul George is having an incredible year. I mean, he is. He's a defensive player of the year candidate. He's putting up pretty good, like 27 points per game and good rebound assist steal numbers. Like the guy's having a fantastic year, and I don't want to take anything away from him, but I mean I think you stack his numbers up against AD's and even the advanced metrics, even though the Pelicans aren't winning, AD trumps him in most everything. And so it is frustrating, but it's not like they got like Luka or Jerick Rose starting or Dwayne Wade or Kobe Bryant at the age of 40. Nothing like that happened, and so it's not that ridiculous, but again, disappointing. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's disappointing. It's also All-Star, so, like, I couldn't really care, but I do know that, you know, there was a point, they've changed it, right? But there was a point where, like, All-Star starting, like, played into, like, what kind of contract you can get and that kind of stuff. But I think it's more of it illuminates more of, like, a larger problem that comes with the Pelicans, and which I've kind of been harping on for a while, and I probably will continue to harp on in more detail later, but I think the Pelicans do an awful job of marketing their own players. And you could say, like, okay, well, New Orleans is the smallest market, and, you know, they're not doing well, the record's not really good, so, you know, it's totally fine. Like, you know, it's expected that Anthony Davis doesn't do great in the fan vote. Well, I don't really buy that as an excuse, especially because so much of that is driven by social media and like what people see. I mean, like, Anthony Davis is literally averaging 29.5 points per game, almost 14 rebounds per game, almost 5 assists per game, and like almost 3 blocks per game. Like, who outside of Wilt has like put up those numbers? Like those are Shaq and Wilt type numbers. It's insane. Like, this guy is having an insane year. All-star game is about entertainment and marketability. League has always been star-driven. Paul George got a ton of votes being in the OKC market, which isn't that much bigger than the Pelicans, than New Orleans. I think the Pelicans media marketing staff just needs to step up. I think they fumbled the ball last year when they didn't market AD as a defensive player of the year candidate. They were like, vote AD for MVP when you know he has no shot. And they only, like, started that campaign, like, 2 weeks before award season. And they finally, like, they had this, like, one little yearbook thing. It was like,
oh, AD leads the league in blocks, so he should be defensive player of the year. It's like, it was bad. They just have no clue how to prop up their own player and make it fun and interesting. You know, you see teams put out all kinds of fun videos, you know, behind the scenes things, cool commercials, and even like vote for me type videos with their own players. The Pelicans do none of that. Like the last time they had like an in-house commercial was in 2015, was like the Let Him Have It with Ryan Anderson and AD as the special man.
Which was incredible.
Yeah, for sure. Which is great, and like, you know, that plays really well with the locals, but they could produce so much content, and it's not like, okay, you do it just for All-Star. It's a season-long thing. Like, the day the first tip-off happens, you're tweeting stuff out. Like, every major AD highlight, every major, you know, like, anytime he's leading the league in a certain stat category, you let everyone know. You can take advantage. Like, there's so many things you can do. It's like, okay, well, this year, AD has been in the market, or not in the market, in the news constantly, you know, with these trade rumors and whatnot. You could take advantage of that fact. You could make a silly commercial where it's like, I don't know, someone goes up to AD and AD's like, you know, working out. And he's like, man, I really want to leave. I'm ready to go. And you're like, oh, AD, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to All-Star. You know, it's like something cheesy like that. And it plays on the fact, you could be like, you're aware of the fact that, okay, like this whole nonsense about AD wanting out or going to the Lakers is in the media, and you could use that to kind of build your own brand. I don't know, that was just something off the top of my head. There are professionals who could do a much better job than I can, and I don't.
It sounds like you're auditioning for this job, actually.
Oh God,
that's
no.
What I hear.
Oh God, no, they can't afford me.
There you go.
No, but you know, and it's like, and I think there are components. Like, I just don't think they're good. Two, I don't think it helps them that basically their whole social media staff is split between the Saints and the Pelicans, and when you're trying to wear two hats at once, you're probably going to do a not great job at either. Like, I wouldn't say, like, the Saints marketing is the greatest.
Yeah.
But also that's a product of, like, the NFL kind of being, like, a bland league, and they don't really embrace, you know, individuality. It's like, whatever. Yeah. The NFL is the NFL. But, like, if they had a dedicated basketball person, and they don't have to be a basketball person. Like, I'm not trying to make this a basketball versus football thing right now. It's just that, like, you're trying to divert resources among two different things. It could be a soccer team for all that matters. Like, if you're trying to run two different shows at the same time, there's going to be overlap that prevents you from doing a good job on the other.
No, you're exactly right. And again, I think that's the core point here is it's not a basketball versus football thing. It's more of bandwidth, right? I noticed it at a personal level. You know, like I remember myself at the age of whatever 20 or early 20s and or even teenage years, and like I was a big fan of like all of my different teams, and like as I got older through my 20s, I focused more on the Pelicans and basketball, and I tried to learn as much as I could and get as smart as I could about basketball. And I really enjoyed following the sport more than the other sports. And so I kind of picked, and that has costs. And that cost was, I don't know. I grew up playing baseball, and I don't follow the players or the league nearly as much as I used to. I can't tell you who. I could tell you every starter for every team when I was probably 13, 14 years old. I can't do that anywhere close to that anymore. And so you pick, and like you only have so much bandwidth to do certain things or support certain things, or even in your job to learn and be the best that you can about certain things. And so like that's what's tough about this. It's like if you're going to be a basketball employee or a football employee or whatever sport employee, you should be getting as smart as you can about anything that relates not just to the sport, the X's and O's, but anything about the league. Exactly like you said, the NFL is kind of a little more bland than the NBA kind of fosters a culture of creativity and it more so than the NFL. And you should have your employees who are kind of embracing that and understanding what the rules are and what they should and should not do. And it's just hard if you're playing by two different sets of rules and you have to like, you know, second guess yourself, watch your back. It's really tough to be a master of a bunch of different skills. And I do think that is definitely a fair point. And again, it's not, not trying to bash, bash the Saints or anything like this.
I want to separate it from it being the Saints, but I do want to say that at some point, and this is my personal opinion and my personal opinion only, that I do think at an organizational level, they just don't care about being good on the Saints side or the Pelicans side in terms of like this media promotion. I don't think they care. I don't think it hurts their bottom line in any type of way. They're making money on both teams. And, you know, I think if you did care, you would go out and hire specific people who are really good at this job. And I'm not sure that they care enough to do that. I think they're fine just kind of getting by and doing their stuff.
Yeah.
Which, you know, whatever flows, organizationally, what I'm trying to say is they probably have different priorities.
Yep.
And things what the fans care about from our perspective, they're probably more focused on like more game day fan oriented stuff. Like how can we make a game day experience the best possible experience?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff. So like the way they cater to their fans is different than we may want them to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anywho, enough about the All-Star stuff. We're going to take a small break here to give a quick shout out to our sponsors.
First of all, you've heard plenty of stories about drug cartels. They're all over the news. But the crime ring you probably never heard of is one of the most dangerous in the world. They're the Mennonite mob. Yeah, you heard that right. Mennonites. 99% of them are kind, God-fearing people. But there's one group that has smuggled millions of dollars of narcotics from Mexico to Canada. Wednesdays, starting January 23rd at 10, 9 Central, WGN America presents the new series Pure, based on the true events of the Mennonite mob. The show is about Noah Funk, the newly elected Mennonite pastor who is determined to rid his community of the drug cartel. But he finds himself way in over his head, and the good pastor, along with his wife, will do some very bad things, all in the name of protecting their family. Think of Pure as Breaking Bad meets Witness meets Narcos. Get hooked on Pure, Wednesday starting January 23rd at 10, 9 Central, only on WGN America. WGN America is available on DirecTV Channel 307, Dish Channel 239, or check your local cable listings for the channel in your area. Hey, here's our other sponsor. It's Mason. Shocking, I know, right? And like the rest of us, you probably made a New Year's resolution. If you're planning to be... Hold on. So this is from our other sponsor, and if you're unlike me, you probably did make a New Year's resolution. If you're planning to eat better, exercise more, be more patient, kinder, or whatever, it all starts with a good night's rest. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the 4-pack special and enter my promo code COZY, and you'll get 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. It's amazing what difference a great pillow makes. If you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on their 4-pack, shipping is absolutely free. That's right, no shipping cost. Zippo, zilch, nada. And don't forget about their 60-day money-back guarantee. There is nothing better than the gift of restorative sleep. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, and use my code COZY to get 2 premium MyPillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com or call 800-966-1472. And remember, my promo code can be used for any offer on MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code COZY.
COZY. Shout out MyPillow. Shout out Pure. All right, welcome back. We want to lead off this segment kind of discussing the Pelicans' recent slate of injuries, the upcoming stretch, and kind of the direction we think the Pelicans should go in. So, Mason, obviously, the first and foremost, the most important thing is Anthony Davis's injury. It was said that he has an avulsion fracture on the volar plate of his index finger. That's a mouthful of words. Apparently the Pelicans thought it was a mouthful of words too, so they were like, Anthony Davis has a sprain on his finger and will be out 1 to 2 weeks. And I think that kind of like, it was definitely probably not their intention, but they kind of made AD look like he was soft. Just like, oh, this guy like sprained his finger, he's gonna be out. And it's like, no. And then you hear all these things like Rich Paul's like, he might go see a hand specialist. We fear this might be a fracture. And then they go see a hand specialist, and then there is a fracture. And Rich Paul is telling these things to Shams and Woj. And then eventually he's like, all right, no, it's better than we expected. It is an avulsion fracture, but he might be back, you know, as soon as next week. We're going to keep reevaluating. I don't know. That whole saga was kind of interesting to watch play out. I don't really know what to make of it. My gut tells me that that Rich Paul kind of felt the same way that I did when I saw the initial report. He was like, what did they kind of do here? And then I think you kind of, the only reason I feel this way is like you see the Pelicans double down. You know, Gentry pregame last game against the Pistons made it a point. He's like, hey, I just want to clear things up. Our doctors and AD's doctors both reached the same diagnosis, the exact same diagnosis. You know, our release was kind of trimmed down to make it easily digestible to fans or whoever's going to be reading it. And like, I found it extremely weird that Alvin took the time to specify that, mm-hmm. to call that out specifically. But when you kind of like take a step back and see how like Rich Paul handled this, it makes sense. You don't want your star appearing like he doesn't have much pain tolerance, which is another term that was in the, I think Shams quoted it or tweeted it. It's like, it's going to be a pain management issue for Davis. And it's like, oh boy. What are they getting at here? Moral of the story is both the Pelicans and AD's doctors reached the same diagnosis. So yay on the med staff. It's an avulsion fracture, or as we may commonly know as like a really bad Jan finger. It's probably not out too long. Mirotić out for the same timeline, 1 to 2 weeks. No clue on how long Randall's going to be out. No clue on how long Etuan's going to be out. But Alvin did say he wanted to hold Etuan out a few games before All-Star break to give him an extended recovery. So you have a good chunk of guys that are missing, a tough slate of games still up ahead. Do you think this should change their approach to the deadline? With all the work that they've kind of been putting towards, obviously they probably had a plan. Does this all of a sudden pump the brakes on all of that and turn the car around?
I mean, so first and foremost, you hope that as a franchise, you have more than one potential path you can take, and you probably have a favorite and one that you think is most likely, but I'm hoping that there was a plan B here in the scenario that the Pelicans, things go wrong and they don't make the playoffs. So I would assume that there is some sort of other plan in place. I don't know if that's something they're going to pursue. I think it would be in their best interest to not do something rash just to shoot for the playoffs this year. I mean, you've got a multitude of factors at play. They're now 22-27. All their games up until the trade deadline, except for the last one in Chicago, which is weirdly enough, no matter what happens, no matter who's playing for the Pelicans between now and then, I'm still calling that a win just because of what's going on in Chicago right now.
If you lose that game, it's calling for heads time. Yeah.
this is going to get worse before it gets better. the upcoming schedule is brutal. Of course, Chris Paul's going to be back either the game before or the game of the Pelicans game.
Let's just assume he'll be back.
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
Yeah. And it's not going to go well. I mean, if you're making plays to be a buyer at the trade deadline when you're, you know, almost 10 games under 500, that's not good. I mean, if you're still taking a swing for a star, like Bradley Beal's off the table, it seems like. So, but if there was a deal to get someone like him, I don't care how bad the Pelicans are this year, I'm cool with it because he's Bradley Beal. If you're making a move for an okay player that you're overpaying for just because you want to make the playoffs, and you're kind of mortgaging a little, not a ton of the future, but mortgaging some of the future as a trade-off to make that happen, I'm not on board with that as much as I would have been, say, a month ago. So I would assume there's some sort of plan in place for this type of scenario, even if it wasn't the one they hoped that they would have to take. But again, who knows? We still have a couple weeks till the trade deadline. I really don't know what they're thinking right now. Do you have a hunch? Do you have a preference? What are you thinking?
So I think the baseline assumption if I was an organization, the baseline assumption has to be the Pelicans are not making the playoffs.
Right.
That has to be where you center all your decision making from. Now, if they happen to make the playoffs, great. That's, you know, whatever. But operating from the standpoint of we're just not going to be good this year kind of allows you to zoom out and make those decisions in a less panicky mode, because then you have different priorities, like you said. If you guys have been following Michael McNamara on Twitter, you'll see his daily mantra is buying is not selling. Wait.
No.
I fucked that up. Yikes, big yikes, big yikes, big yikes. Okay, no, he's saying that not selling is the same as buying. Right. Wow, I see that tweet every single day and I still mess that up. So not selling is the same as buying. First of all, I want to toss that back your way. Do you agree with that?
There are levels to it. And so I think given the nature of the market this year, I think I understand the point, because there are the way the market's shaping up this trade deadline, with so many teams that are thinking they can make the playoffs. I mean, there are a lot of teams that are in the thick of it in the West. The East is so bad that there are probably some teams that are thinking about making a run for it. And so if you decide to be a seller, you could probably do pretty well for yourself.
What do you mean, like, pretty well? I don't think the Pelicans are in any position to get a first-round pick. Maybe not multiple. I mean, they could, but they would have to take on, I think, significantly worse contracts. And that means, like, you know, you're sending out Nico, you're Randall, and all of that, and you're maybe getting one pick, which is going to be non-lotto. So what's pretty good here?
Fair. I haven't applied it to actual trade ideas. I feel like I haven't gotten in on the Pelicans or sellers mindset from a NBA trade machine perspective or anything like that. But I'm thinking about
selling's it as
like
a new wave, man. Better hop on.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it from a pure, you know, economic supply and demand perspective. I mean, if you've got more buyers and you've got sellers, and it's a seller's market, and so I think that that's the argument to be made, and I think it's a reasonable one, whether or not the Pelicans can find a way to capitalize on that. I haven't gotten there yet to see what could be on the table. Like, is there a way to trade a player of value plus Solomon Hill and just try to dump Hill as opposed to needing a pick to do it? I don't know if that's a possibility. Probably not. But things like that, I think,
sure, are down the field. If you take on a worse contract.
Yeah.
I think it's undoubtedly a possibility. But you're talking about taking on a Batum, you're talking about taking on a Biyombo, you're talking about, you know, those kind of players where you look at them, you're like, gross. They're not going to help you win. Mm-hmm. They're going to eat up cap. So it's like, is kind of taking the asset worth all of that, even if AD leaves? And I don't know. I'm not sure I'm quite there yet. I do want to talk about the whole not selling is buying thing just a little bit. For those who may not understand or agree with this, just want to break it down for you in the simplest way possible. Let's say you bought a car for $10,000, and you have the opportunity a few years later to sell that car for $5,000. If you choose not to sell that car and you're like, I'm just going to ride this into the ground, you're effectively paying $5,000 for the right to run it into the ground. So that's what Michael McNamara is trying to get at, is if you're not selling it, you're buying. If you're not selling Etuan Moore, you're paying for the right to keep him. If you're not selling Julius Randle, you're paying for the right to keep him. Which, where does that leave you? When you look at it from that lens, you're like, yeah, you're right. Why do I want these players on my team long term? They're not really helping me win now. I doubt they'll help me win later. So I'm with that. To get what you can, see if you can get a pick or two, see if you can get some young players, some expiring contracts, anything that might be construed as a value positive asset. See if you can construct moves that sneakily don't look like selling, but, you know, because you're getting players that can kind of help you now, and yep. you could spin it as, oh, they fit better. I don't know, but I am on board with the Pelicans exploring all of those possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I don't think they should tank. I don't think it should be like, all right, AD, you should shut it down.
I agree completely.
There should be... I'm not going to root for losses. That's just against who I am. I think that AD and Drew and all of them, you just can't be like, you know what, we're mailing it in this season. Because what kind of young talent do you have to develop? You're just going to give Ja and Frank all these minutes? It's like you could, but that's a surefire way to make sure AD leaves.
Yeah.
And I think the move has to be is you're selling AD on a long-term plan. And if by selling and procuring assets, you're saying you're going to later utilize these assets to bring in something else, that's something you can sell. You know, if you're cleaning out your current cap holes to free up max level space next summer, that's something you can sell. If you're bringing in a star, that's something you can sell. You cannot sell, hey, we're going to tank for Zion Williamson, where, you know, our odds are increasingly slim.
Yep. I'm totally in alignment there. I mean, I think while the lottery reform isn't a huge step in one direction or another, it still makes it even less of an incentive to go and lose games. I mean, even the worst teams only have the 14% chance to get the number one pick. And so even if that was like a potential option last year, if this were to have happened, I don't think it's an option this year. I mean, they're too far along down the path they've gone there. You can't waste away the rest of the season just trying to lose games.
Okay. Here is a fun hypothetical for you. And this is going to be the last question before we end the podcast.
Okay.
Let's say the Pelicans miss the playoffs, and you know, and not because of some devastating injury. Everyone's still healthy and fine and all of that. Pelicans miss the playoffs. They're, you know, 10th, 12th, 14th, whatever. They're out of the playoffs. They're not a bottom team. But they miraculously win the lottery. They get the number one pick. Do you use that pick to draft Zion? One. Do you still trade Davis? Two. Or three, do you trade that pick to get whatever star that might be available?
So obviously you're taking Zion. The tough part for me is I don't think any star available is worth that pick.
Let's say the Portland Trailblazers flame out round one and they're like, you know what, we're done with Damian and CJ as our core. We want to try something new, and Damian Lillard becomes available. So I'm giving you a name to attach to that pick. Damian Lillard. That is the baseline.
I don't think so, man.
You don't trade the pick for Damian?
I think I'm keeping Zion.
Ooh.
I mean,
is AD staying in your scenario? Are you trading AD?
So this is the point where you're involving AD in absolutely every decision you make. I mean, this is similar to what happened with Cleveland, right? I mean, when they traded
when Bron got rid of all the young players.
Yeah, when they traded the Wiggins pick for Kevin Love, and so I guess Dame's probably a better asset now than Love was at that time, even though Love was a damn good player. I feel like Dame's probably better, but it's a really fun question, and there's a case to be made to that you pull the trigger on that. But I mean, it really comes down to what AD wants, right? If you think that is enough to keep him around, then if he says he'll stick around, you do it. But if you think he's leaving, you keep the pick and you flip AD for more stuff to go along with that pick, and you just kind of try to jumpstart the next era. I don't know. I mean, is this something you thought about, or is this just an on the fly question?
On the fly.
Okay. Do you have a strong preference?
Yeah, I want Lillard. I want Lillard for sure.
Any guarantees from Davis?
I mean, I feel like if you're Davis and you turn down Lillard, Drew, I mean, I don't trade Davis then. You let Lillard and Davis's contract run out. I don't care.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't care. I take Lillard. If Davis wants to ask for a trade, you tell him to suck it. And, you do whatever the hell he wants. And then Lillard is the leader of the locker room, as he's shown to be in Portland. And you got your point guard. You got your second star, but your third star. I mean, he would undoubtedly be, like, you know, all those people that buy into the whole alpha and all that kind of thing. Like, he's that player. He fills a huge void from a vocal leadership perspective and a talent perspective. Checks all the boxes. I go for Lillard. I mean, I'm sure Zion's going to be unbelievable. I'm sure that, you know, there'll probably be times you're like, shit, I wish I had that guy on a cost-controlled rookie contract. But,
yeah, that's
I mean, it's team. Anthony Davis and Damian Lillard on the same team. Can you imagine that pick and roll?
I imagined it years ago.
Before
Damian Lillard climbed up draft boards, and we thought there was a chance we could draft him 10th and have Dame and AD in the same class. Yeah,
oh, my God. Yeah. No, I would do that in a heartbeat. I wouldn't even look bad black. I wouldn't be mad. I would. I mean, that's just. Yeah, I take Lillard.
Yeah, I can't get there so confidently until Davis says something to me, because that's just.
The thing is, like, I don't care about Davis at that point.
Well, the enticing thing to me, well, fine, but then the enticing thing to me about Zion is it resets the clock. Like, if you get that pick, if you get Zion, you're not, like, and the Pelicans get their third franchise player since moving to New Orleans after Chris Paul and AD, and you just reset the organization. Like, that's monumental. And I'm not saying that. I mean, I feel like over the past month, you and I both have been the people just shouting, you guys are crazy, like, to say, all right, it's time to move on from AD and reset the franchise. AD is the franchise. And so with that caveat, I mean, there is an appealing aspect to having this new franchise player who, you know, through restricted free agent rules, is probably going to be on your team for the next, you know, at least half dozen years to a little more, and really get another chance to do it right.
Well, you know what they say, a boat is a boat, but a mystery box could be anything, even a boat.
Yeah. And so I feel like you wanted to end the podcast on that, but I'm not going to let you. Because okay. it's not a mystery box.
Is it not a mystery box? Can you predict his career?
Late lottery picks are mystery boxes, man. The number one picks,
Anthony Bennett.
Okay, you can make
Andrew Wiggins.
You're gonna make me pull out Ryan Schwan's value of a draft pick column. You're gonna make me do it.
I mean, number one pick is the most valuable asset you could have, right? It has historically the most success rate in producing stars, all NBA caliber players, Hall of Fame caliber players. It just does.
Probably in any sport too.
Right. But it's Damian Lillard,
who will be 29 this summer,
who is unbelievably good as a basketball player.
Also true.
And on the same kind of contract. Like, you have, like, Lillard, AD, and Drew basically, like, all running out at the same time. And then, you know, if shit all goes to hell in a handbasket, that deadline, you could have so much fun selling everyone.
Be the most epic single team trade deadline in history.
Oh, yeah. I want Lillard, man.
All right.
Cool. Well,
that was an interesting topic, and I am curious to see if we get some responses to the pod saying, tell us, assuming for the six of you who listened all the way to the end of this podcast, shout us out and let us know what your decision would be on this topic, because I think it's really interesting.
Yep. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.